I want to talk about systems. And in the past, I've talked about the transformation of systems and the journey that I've been on over many years now in the divestiture of parts of our business, reallocation of capital, as you heard earlier, but laying the foundation, setting the table. This year, I want to talk about winning. I want to talk about all the things we've already done is behind us. I want to talk about the things we have going forward. We made decisions to divest of things, but we also made decisions to continue to invest in innovation. I'm very happy to see our patent leadership now going on 24 years. I want you to know that systems and research are two of the top organizations within IBM that contribute to our patent portfolio. By the way, it's systems and research in that order. So it's systems first, research second. So we are continuing to innovate in this category. Now, for us, this is about delivering this innovation in different ways. It's about new workloads in our mainframe. You've heard that several times, not just about blockchain, but about analytics and about other things that we're doing in the mainframe environment. For power, it's all about reinventing, going after cognitive and solving the problems that cognitive workloads, the opportunity that cognitive provides. For storage, it's all about technology. This is a radically changing, very fast-paced change of technology in the storage industry. This was an $8 billion business for us last year, but it's all about what we're doing with Z Linux, it's all about what we're doing with Flash and software-defined storage, and the changes we've made around power systems and the kind of inventions that we're making around how to pursue cognitive in cloud. So everything you've heard from everybody else around cognitive cloud and industry exactly applies to systems. That's why we're on this slide this way. Now, architectural battles, it's all about this fight. And the fight here is around the transitions that are happening. Transitions for new workloads like blockchain for Z. Transitions to Flash and software-defined storage for storage. Transitions to cognitive systems, which is not something there's an incumbent. This is an opportunity for us, an opportunity for me, to deliver on the value that cognitive hardware can provide. And it's all about this transition to Linux. It's about going after high-performance computing environments, about hyperscale data centers where a lot of the capacity will reside. That's all opportunity for me. You can see that while this business in general is a flat or down or slightly up, slightly down, depending on the year, there are some very significant areas of growth. And I'm talking about big numbers with big CAGRs. So hybrid cloud, 25% CAGR, Flash growing at 13%, software-defined storage, 38. So these are big numbers. Cognitive hardware, 58% growing to be $6.8 billion. Hyperscale, Linux servers. I want you to know that in storage, we were able to grow Flash double digits last year. I need to do better this year. In software-defined storage, where I have number one share, you see the growth here, 38%, number one share, double digits last year. So the opportunities are there. That's why I think Ginny talked about you have to look at every level within the hierarchy, because for me, I've also had places where I can grow and places that are in decline, like our traditional Unix marketplace. So it's true for IBM, it's also true for systems. Let's start with Z. I've heard it mentioned several times, so I won't be redundant with my colleagues, but analytics to the data. Data has gravity. It's not just about the security concerns that somebody might have about putting their data up in a public cloud. It's expensive to move your data to the analytics. It's much less expensive to move the analytics to your data. That's why Arvind and the team made machine learning available on the Z platform first, on ZOS, because 80% of that data lives behind the firewall. A lot of it lives on Z. So new workloads for me are machine learning on Z. New workloads for me are being able to do Spark analytics on Z, which is why we've embraced that platform. We've added 80 clients since we introduced the Z13. So that's 8 quarters, that's 10 a quarter on average. But for me, it's much more about new workloads that we've been adding to the platform, like blockchain and like Spark and like machine learning. Now, it's also about unlocking the value in the existing apps. There's so much out there, and it's so much less expensive to unlock what you already have, the investments that they've already made. This is the foundation for the hybrid cloud. I'll give you an example of that. And I've heard a lot about blockchain, so I won't be too redundant on this, but 50 of our couple hundred examples are HSBN examples. This is running on a Linux platform. We started this proof of concept in the summer. We went into support mode in December. And a lot of the examples you've heard, whether it's Maersk or whether it's Northern Trust, or Everledger or others that appeared on Bridget's charts are running on Z. And I will tell you about half of them don't even know they're running on Z. They just know they chose the highly secured blockchain network. So to me, that is a good story. Now, I'll tell you a couple of stories. Jack Henry & Associates is a good one. They support 10,500 different financial institutions, 300 different applications. For them, it was about Apache Spark. They are doing all this work today. They're an existing Z client running mainframe transactions for these banks, credit cards, et cetera. But they wanted to be able to add the analytics. And they talked about latency of the analytics. They want to be able to do it real time. And so they're doing Spark on ZOS because they can combine their transaction processing with their analytics. ANZ is a great example of a company that's doing this work around EasySource and API Connect. They're opening up their APIs in their core banking and in their credit card processing. They've opened up 20 APIs. What are APIs? Arvind said it's kind of gorpy. It's account opening. It's credit card opening. It's check a balance. Do a credit score. Detect fraud. That's what their APIs are. And by them being able to recombine those APIs into new applications, in their words, half the time, a fraction of the cost than doing it from scratch. And we've already heard a lot of good blockchain examples like the one at Northern Trust. If I look at what we've done with Flash and software-defined storage, this is where the action is. So Flash, as I mentioned, double-digit growth. But from 2016, I had to refresh the entire portfolio of Flash. We finally got to the end of that at the end of last year, at the end of 2016, from the top to the bottom of the portfolio. That, I mean that from the highest performance to the lowest price point there is out there, the entire portfolio. The world is going towards Flash, and they're doing it because it's much less expensive than trying to tune an application. Hybrid scalability with software-defined storage. There's lots of cloud service providers out there that are running our software-defined storage. And the latest addition to software-defined storage for me is the Cloud Object Store. David mentioned it. It was the CleverSafe acquisition of the leading object store company in the world, available on-prem, available in the cloud. Couple good examples. UPMC is a Pittsburgh-based medical center. Looking at the latency they had in their Epic and Cerner systems, wanted to get an advantage. Instead of spending lots of people hours doing tuning, they put in Flash. They increased their performance by 40% overnight. That's a great story for them to be able to get the kind of response time they need to do the medical care they can provide. Bitly, you probably know. A lot of us use this for link management today. About half the Fortune 100 uses Bitly. They have like 12 billion links per month that they resolve. They had 50 data centers. They chose to do it on our cloud, you know, leveraging David's technology, moved it to our data centers, and now they can store their 500 terabytes of data in our cloud object store using CleverSafe for far less money than it would cost them to store otherwise. So good examples of where storage is enabling cognition and cloud technologies. And power systems, last but not least, completely remixing this to go after cognitive. Why? Because accelerated computing is different. Accelerated computing is the combination of CPU plus accelerator, like a GPU, like NVIDIA. A lot of you have written and read about NVIDIA in the last 12 months. It's been a very hot company. They've been a great partner to me. They're one of 300 members of the Open Power Foundation, but they're one of the founding five. They started this journey with us from the beginning because they saw the value not just of Power 8, but the roadmap we have ahead, and they also saw the value of the interconnect. In their case, NVLink. You know the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And if I have great performance here and here and I need to talk between the two, then I'm waiting. I'm waiting at very high speed, but I'm waiting. And so we needed to raise the roof and be able to do the interconnect much faster. And we're the only system delivering NVLink between Power 8 and NVIDIA GPUs. So the best performance between the two is what the Googles of the world have seen to know I want the strength of Power 8 and what lies beyond, the strength of NVIDIA, in Google's case also TPUs or their tensor processing units, to see the value of accelerated computing. Now it's about AI and it's about this move towards cognition. And it's about working with companies like NVIDIA in order to do this. But it's also about using relational databases and GPU-based databases like Kinetica. Kinetica is a database that instantly takes advantage of Power 8 plus an NVIDIA GPU. And a major retailer here in the US is using this, was looking for 300 million reads per minute, they got 4 billion instantly by using the Kinetica GPU. So the teaming that we've done with the NVIDIA team around something called Power AI, which gives us all the top machine learning libraries, TensorFlow, Torch, Cafe, et cetera, all based on our Power technology. We've also been going after open source databases like Mongo, like Redis, and using our own, of course, like DB2 and Big Insights. But the value here is about what we can do with Power 8 and eventually beyond technologies. And so this is a very good story, 2x price performance guarantee for people using Mongo over what they can get with alternatives like x86. And last but not least, there's a great story here about taking share for HANA. I went into the year with about 6,000 clients running SAP on Power, on AIX, traditional SAP. We were late to the game. We partnered with SAP. We took share in 2016 around HANA on Power. I ended the year with 600 clients running HANA on Power, running on Linux, by the way. But basically, the reason to go here was because HANA on Power runs better than it runs on any other platform. In fact, Bosch made the decision to go for HANA on Power because of the virtualization that it provided. Nimbix, I should tell you the story, is a great example of a cloud provider. It's a DevOps example of people using our NVIDIA Plus Power 8 technology, making it available to scientists in the life sciences and the energy areas. People can write and deploy their applications in a Nimbix cloud, taking advantage of our accelerated technology today. Now, all of this is also based on what I said is raising the roof on the interconnect speed, whether it's NVLink, whether it's CAPI today, which is our connection that we use in OpenPower today, or the announcement we made in the fourth quarter around OpenCAPI, which we said we're going open standards to the industry around this connection technology between processor and accelerator. What was amazing to me was it wasn't just your standard OpenPower members that declared, yes, this is a great idea. We added AMD, we added HPE, and we added Dell EMC to the list that see the value of an alternative to Intel and see the value of this high-speed connection. One of the big supporters of this is Google. Google made the decision to announce with Rackspace they'd be delivering Power 9 servers using OpenCAPI technology, connecting to their processors, connecting to other accelerators. So Power 9's a big event for me because it's not just about what we're delivering, it's about what the industry will be delivering late this year for Power 9. And this technology allows us to do 10x faster server performance, not just because of the server, but because of that interconnect speed. It's what also allowed us to win a Terasort benchmark with Tencent in China. So it's multi-continent now for hyperscale data centers around the world, and I am absolutely targeting the hyperscale data centers. I have never seen such a robust set of technology coming from research and coming from systems, as you can see here. Late this year, we'll be delivering it. I got the question on several breaks, so I'll just tell you, late this year, we'll be delivering the mainframe, the new one. If you do the math, you can see that. You can see it coming. Same thing around the next generation of Power. It's something Google's been anticipating, something I'm anticipating delivering to them as well. They see the value of the combination. It's about being able to do trillions of operations in the technology by using software out of research combined with our Power architecture. And it's also about quantum, which I'll let Arvind talk about. But to me, understand that quantum is all about what's next. It is not replacing anything we do today with a computer. It is really about being able to compute things we can't fathom today. It's something that would take 100 years or more, now can be done in a minute. That's not replacing existing technology. That's replacing other things that we either don't do or we do very inefficiently. So hopefully you can see in this short summary that for me, it's about winning, capturing these new growth opportunities in these high CAGR areas, winning the architectural battles. AI is open field, and it's up to me to win this. Hybrid cloud is something we have incumbency around our install base, around Power, around mainframe, and around storage, and about using things like API Connect an easy source to allow people to scan code and take advantage of that, and introducing brand new innovations in storage and in servers in conjunction with my colleague in research. So with that, I'll say thank you for your time, thank you for your attention, thank you for your investment, all right?